What's up, YouTube? Hello, everybody. Slightly late today. Me and Ryan were just chatting away about nonsense. And then Ryan was like, oh, we should start now, shouldn't we? I was like, oh, God. So, yeah.
But we made it. Almost. We made it 1 minute late. So
less than a minute late. So, but anyway, hello, everybody. Hello, YouTube. Hello, Spotify. Hello, Apple Podcasts and all the various other little weird podcast places. Prestige Reef Talk Show. I'm Alex, Reef Talk. With me, as always, is Ryan from the UK's number one coral selling website, prestigereef.co.uk. Ryan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am all right. I'm better than I was this morning, as I was saying earlier.
Oh, yeah. You had a disaster this morning, didn't you?
Not tank related, but
it could have been tank related.
It could have been. Oh, God. Imagine
if the power went out.
The power did go out. It tripped it. So I'll explain what happened. So I was sat on the sofa. Fortunately, I got up early this morning. I was sat up on the sofa at 7:30. And I suddenly heard this noise coming from the kitchen. I ran out to the kitchen and there was mains pressure water spewing everywhere. And it was hot water as well. I didn't mention that. It was hot water.
I didn't know it was hot water.
And so I had to, for about 5 minutes, I was trying to turn off all the isolation valves. And eventually I found the one that was, so the one at the front that lets water into the house, that didn't shut it off. but I found another one and stopped it. But that did trip the electric. So my tank went out. And it's, do you know what, actually, battery backups, I'll ask you about this, because my main tank has got an Ecotec battery backup. And I find it really satisfying when the tank is completely still, apart from this gentle water movement from the battery backup, because it's at like 50% power. Just find it's really relaxing watching that.
Never really noticed, if I'm honest, because my tanks are lower flow than your ones usually, aren't they? So you normally have like really, really turbulent surface, whereas when you were at my house the other day, you went, have you got enough flow in there?
Yeah, they on.
Yeah.
But it's funny because someone came to my house today to pick up some corals and he said the same about my tank. At the time in the morning, it looks relatively still. And then there are other points of the day when it's really, really turbulent, like loads of water movement. And it was fairly still. But he was like, you've not got much water movement, have you? And he had, on a 3-foot tank, he had 4 MP40s. And I think he had 2 Jais as well.
Wow.
So
you wonder how the coral farm copes with just 2 MP40s on no. one end.
Yeah, I know. So my power heads, I have my MP40s running at about 90%, but I've turned them down lately because I've moved a load of my corals on. I'm looking forward to when I've got them in a new tank, hopefully being running at about 60%, maybe 50%. And I'm hoping they'll be a bit quieter because when you turn them up full blast, they're quite not. I don't run them at 100% because they're too noisy. So I back them off to like 80, 90. So I'm hoping they might be a little bit quieter if they're 50% or something.
You run them at 80 or 90. I'm going to run at 50% on a 6-foot tank and there's only 2 of them.
And I got 4, yeah. But that, yeah.
And the fish, when they swim in front of them, they do this. So your fish must be like permanently on a whirlpool.
There are 2 fish that swim up next to it, the white-tailed coltang and the 2 barred rabbit fish. They try to peck algae off the cage, the MP40 cage. And so they really like, they swim up and they're like really struggling against the current, but they do get it. So
I know what that feels like, because there's actually 2 things I've done. Once I was in a swimming pool, you know, one of those small swimming pools with like jets on it. So like, I would say like 5 feet long, but you swim in it. And the other thing, I was once attached to a bungee cable where you run forward. So I imagine that's what the fish feel like when they're trying to get the algae in front of it.
Yeah.
So we have a random story for you. I'm not sure why that came up, but just thought I'd throw it in there.
I've also got on my water box, I've got 4, it's only a 2-foot cube and it's only 16 inches tall. So it's not even a 2-foot cube, but I've got 4 AI Nero 5s. And that's LPS, but they're running quite low. They're below 50%. Partly that I couldn't get the flow right in that tank. When both the powers were at one end, the flow just, it was rubbish. Yeah. And the corals were always blowing one way, which I didn't like. They didn't look very natural. What was the other thing I was saying? Oh, yeah. But Nero pumps, because this is my home office and I like it to be quiet, I have them below 50%, because if they're 50% or above, they're quite noisy. What are you looking at?
I just saw someone's got 4 MP40s on a 2-foot tank.
MP10s.
Oh, sorry, MP10s. I was going to say for MP40s. Wow.
MP10s. I had MP10s on my first ever tank. This is actually one thing I was thinking about today on in terms of flow. When I was first set up my tank, and I want to do a video. It'll be a while though. But when I first set up my tank, I spent 2 years researching, which was way too much, and I should have just got stuck in. But in that 2 years researching, the one thing I took was flow is important, right? Massively important. I was like, right, in that case, it's worth spending some money then. So I'll get the best power heads. And I bought an MP. I only had one at first, but I ended up buying two MP10s.
Yeah.
And it's like, actually, an MP40s, MP10s aren't so good, I find, but MP40s are really, really good. And I like them. I choose them for my tank because I think they're the best choice for me.
Yeah.
But you get a Jekod that's a quarter of the price and will kick out the same amount of flow. It's exactly the same for the Corals. Corals, I don't think, appreciate the powers. The things that, like the MP40s, me having a wet side, no cables in the tank, battery, yeah, all that, that's, it's worth it for me. But the Corals, yeah, I don't think.
I've always wondered why there's no, like, Chinese copy, yeah, of the MP40. There's Chinese copies of everything, yeah, but the MP40s for some reason. And I don't know why that is.
There's two things on that. One, there must be a pattern, and maybe Ecotec enforce it when they don't enforce other things. I don't know. But I also wonder, I always used to think that, like, Jekod copy everyone else because they're really blatant. But when you see, like, the Jekod and the AI Nero, there are two. Jekod SLW series looks like the AI Nero.
Yeah.
But AI Neros, I don't know if the Neros are made in China, to be fair, but the AI return pump is. And I started to think, well, hang on. Is it the Chinese copying the other companies, yeah, or is it actually the other way around?
I don't know.
Some of the pump companies in China are massive, but I've got no idea. But yeah, I've wondered that as well. There must be, because how long has the MP40s been out? 10 years now? Probably more.
Probably. Maybe even longer than that.
Yeah. So I don't know how long patents last, to be fair, or even if patents is the right word, but
I don't know. I just, as I said, there's lots of things where you go, that's close enough to similar, that looks similar enough to another product, yeah, that you think there's obviously a copy, whereas it just doesn't happen with those. I would have wondered if they're too difficult to make or something.
Yeah.
Though I obviously, you know this already. So I start my week in reefing.
Yeah, go on. Yeah. Yeah.
I've had a very, very incredibly expensive week in reefing. I had the reason that I started wondering about the MP40s was because I had two MP40s fall into one of the tanks.
The dry sides fell in.
Yeah. The controllers fell in.
Oh, the controller.
Yeah, it was actually the controller that fell in, not me. Gosh. It fell off the wall forward. They'd been there for years and years and years, and basically, like, they've probably been there for 4 years. And what's essentially has happened is the Velcro on them no longer sticks, and it's come forward and they've fallen in the tank. And then one of them was heavy enough to bring the other one down in with it. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't caused any trouble to the tank or anything like that. Everything's fine. The problem, obviously, is that they don't like water, and right, it immediately destroyed both of them. So there was nothing I could do. So I bought two new ones, and then I also bought a third new one because I had one a long time ago which got salt in it, got salt water in the dry side, which was still running fine, but it made a lot of noise, and I'm like, if anything's going to catch fire, it's definitely going to be that, because I'm like, why is it making such a noise? But yeah, I only use it very temporarily just to mix the salt, so it was like 20 minutes or half an hour at a time.
Yeah.
So three new MP40s has been expensive. You'll be very happy to.
What you need, actually, just winding back, what you need is you can get those brackets for the control, but the MP40s.
Yes, that's what going forward.
Yeah. So you need, what you need is a ReefDork 3D printed MP40 control box mount
from Etsy.
Only from ReefDork.etsy.com. The only problem is I don't make them. But actually, so that you can get 3D printed MP40 controller brackets.
Yeah.
But they're only about 20% cheaper than the official Ecotec one. And the Ecotec one is metal and is a bit nicer.
Because you get Ecotec give them with the Vectras, but they don't give them with the MP40s.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is weird because it's basically the same product. If you, like,
there must be a big profit. I've always thought there must be a massive profit margin on the MP40 because it's been out. Because normally, when a new product comes out with any walk of life, whether it's cameras, televisions, reef, and whatever, at first it's really expensive because they've got to recoup all their R&D, and then it gets cheaper and cheaper and cheaper over time. Whereas MP40s are going up, so I feel like they're probably make a lot of money on that proportionately. But then what they do is they that's their cash cow that they use to reinvest in the company. So if you set up a company, you don't make the exact same amount of profit on everything. Some things you make more on, some things you make less. So I reckon that's what they do with that.
Possibly.
But
they might be using the, like, I don't want to speculate because I've genuinely have no idea.
That's just these are things I think about.
Never any facts on this show, is there?
There are no facts on this show at all. No.
So that was the first expense of the week. Someone said, why didn't you just buy a new controller? They don't cut. So I believe they come as a dry side and a wet side, and the dry side doesn't include the controller. So because I actually ordered the dry side and had to send it back because it wasn't what I needed. Yeah. The next big expense, which you will be incredibly happy with, Alex, is that I got a new iPhone. Because obviously all of my videos were filmed on my iPhone, and they have always been the entire time I've been doing it. But my phone's quite dated now. So the quality, I started to notice the quality of the footage filmed wasn't as good as other people's. Whereas you can get it pretty good with a phone, and it makes it easy to do the videos.
Yeah.
So that's good. The problem is, obviously, I have to get a 1 terabyte one. So they are incredibly expensive. Because I think the reason they're so expensive is actually because they don't make very many of them. They were out of stock everywhere.
Interesting.
That's what I was told anyway. And the other thing, the other part of my expensive week was I have also bought a new iPad because...
My iPad went.
Yes. So for those of you who didn't see the post I put out, every single video I ever made was made on one iPad, which is now 10 years old. So my entire channel was built on iPad, which was 10 years old. You're probably starting to realize that I don't like change. And it no longer works. So I had to say goodbye to my 10-year-old iPad. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it yet. I might get it framed.
That case looks like it's about 1,000 years old.
Yeah, it was used a lot originally. Yeah. But
how come you need a 1 terabyte iPhone? I've only got 3 terabytes on my PC.
Well, I have 50,000 videos on my phone.
Right, you just store
actually them, true. Yeah. Actually, I think it might be more than that. One second, I can tell you.
Bloody
hell. It is an unusually large amount because I looked the other day. I don't know, yeah, so 51,497. So I've done a lot of filming over the years, and I just it's all been stored on there. What I should really do, and I've not got to this stage yet, I should buy an iMac. That's what I should do.
Then
store all the videos on there in folders under the fish names, so that if I want a picture of a copper band, I can do that. But I'm not at that level where I'm willing to learn how an iMac works.
That's what I do. I have everything. So I've got a library footage folder, so if I make a video about yellow long-nosed butterfly, I've got 5 videos of them and all that sort of stuff. It's really useful, but
whereas what I do is I look through my phone, I know roughly where everything is in all those 50,000 pictures, and then send them over one at a time for when I want them. But I don't want a PC, Les, because the reason I want a PC is because my iPhone automatically sends everything to my other devices. So that's why it works.
So that's the problem, because I switched to... I've never had an iPhone until 6 months ago or 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Always had Android, and I switched to iPhone. And transferring stuff from your phone to your PC, because I've got a PC, or vice versa. Oh, it's such a hassle. Before it was plug it in straight away, easy. So now that they're forcing me to get an iMac. But I've had my computer for about 2 years. So it's got loads of life in it. And it was quite semi-expensive. It wasn't mega expensive, but I can't justify the upgrade.
So now you understand why, because I think previously you probably thought, why doesn't he have a computer and do the editing on that like other people? Well, you now know, it's purely comes down to the videos are very easy to transfer between one device to the other. That's it.
You should still get an iMac, though. You can get a little Apple Studio. That would be really good. They're not expensive.
I actually did test out the iMac the other day. I've never used it at iMac or a Mac or anything. And it's not the same as using a PC. So like the buttons, the clicking's different, everything. Yeah. I tried using the shop and I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, I'm not prepared to learn how to use this. You've seen what I am like with the camera, where I learn something and then a week later I ask you what to do with it again.
Jay's looking at your iPad saying it feels like he's watching the Antiques Roadshow.
They do well. I actually Googled how long iPads are meant to last. They're only meant to last 5 years. It doesn't even have the internet on it anymore. Like it, really? Like I cannot open web pages on it because it's no longer like supported or whatever.
Yeah, don't they update them and basically make older Apple stuff rubbish after a few years?
I couldn't do anything on it other than make videos. I couldn't open Facebook on it or anything because it literally just goes to your Facebook's now too out of date to use, and there is no.
I mean, you got your money's worth out of it, though, didn't you? Well, 10 years, and it probably cost you £200 back then.
it probably did cost about that. Like, and I did think this. I thought, imagine how much money that has made from making the videos. And that's why I just thought to myself, stop being tight, and let's get myself a nice iPad, nice iPhone, so I can, you know. But what that does tell you is the reason I found out my iPad wasn't working anymore was because I was actually making a video. So it's been a while since I made a video.
It has, yeah.
So I have filmed a video, but I can't actually edit it because the iPad doesn't work. So there is a video coming at some point.
So after 6 months in into your new iPad. Hang on, I'm just going to pause for a second.
Yeah.
David Brooksmith. Do you know who that is? Give me three guesses.
Your husband?
No, that's my that's my dad. Hi, Dad.
I probably shouldn't have said that then.
He's in Portugal at the moment. Best reef tank is by the escalator in the Burj Al Arab, Dubai, 3 stories tall. Best reef tank is in my house, Dad. So nice try.
From what I've heard, your dad does an excellent job at looking after it when you're away.
It does, yeah. You're famous, Dad. We talk about you looking after my couple
all the time.
What was I going to say? Oh, there's one thing. So Chris Allen says, you use iPad and iPhone with Microsoft OneDrive. And this guy says you can easily transfer from iCloud to either PC or Mac.
Both of us don't know that, so we're learning something.
It's just difficult when you start using Apple for the first time ever when you're 20 years into using Android. It's like, anyway, week in reefing. I interrupted.
That's the main expenses. And with regards to the water box, there is a little smattering of diatoms. It's been there for weeks now. It was there before. It's not getting any worse.
That didn't work, guys.
No, I knew you were going to say that.
Those people on Instagram are like,
yeah. I told you it wouldn't work. Yeah, there was a very, very small, like, just very light dusting only on the sand. What I find most interesting is the fish never used to eat off the rocks ever. They never touched anything. They like everything was coated in diatoms. Right, they never ate off the MP40 or the back wall. They are now all eating off the rocks and the back wall and the MP40.
There's algae and stuff there.
Which means it must be algae growing rather than diatoms, which is great. That's what I wanted.
Have you got loads of cleanup crew in?
No, I have. I don't have a huge amount. I've only got a few snails in there.
Because cleanup crew eat diatoms, right?
Yeah, but would they eat off the sand?
Conches will.
I've got a conch in there, and I've got Nassaria snails as well. And I've got probably like 15 turbo snails, but the turbo snails breed in there, so I've got loads of little tiny baby ones, and I just think their population will reach a maximum capacity. So I'm just letting them do what they want.
I have that with dove snails. You have dove snails?
No, I had dove snails a long, long time ago, and you get quite a few of them, and then I shut that tank down, and then I never ever saw them ever again. Never seen them on a piece of coral come in. Never seen them in a shop. Never. And I just think,
wait till you get corals from me, mate.
It must have just been like one lucky, because I didn't think they were bad. They're just part of the cleanup crew as far as
they're
I was
good, aren't they?
I think people don't like them because they're similar to other things where they get out of control.
Yeah, that's the only issue. So when I saw the first one, I don't know, a year or so ago. And I was like, oh, is that a baby conch? Because it looks like it had the little snout. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. Posted it on Ultimate Reef. And they're like, it's dove snail, mate. So, and now I've got millions of them. But they're good. I put them in my reef castle when I set that up. because the free cleanup crew, and they're small, so they must have, you always talk about different size mouths and stuff. So but every time I pick up a frag, they like dark places. So every time I pick up a frag plug, they're hiding under the on the stem and stuff.
When you put that on Ultimate Reef, were they like, "You're a YouTuber, you should know better"?
No. It was just a genuine answer, but. But yeah, but it's funny though, because when you get that's like nine years in, however long it's been, and I don't know what a dove snail is.
that happens all the time.
Yeah,
there were other things I had in previous tanks as well. I had these little tiny white starfish, where there were hundreds of them or thousands and thousands of these little tiny starfish. I've had thousands of these green and brown banded starfish, again small, and like once you move tanks, you just never see them again. And I just wonder, I'm like, was that like a one-off that I just had this weird thing that no one else ever has? Because think about all the corals that come into the farm. Why have I not seen these things again?
Yeah. Not Asterinas.
Oh, no, I've seen plenty of those.
Yeah, I know. Tell me
about it. Yeah.
Actually, the one thing I noticed on the Facebook group, the Prestige Reef Talk Show Facebook group, the most frequently asked question is, what's this? It's just coming on a coral.
Yeah.
And it's a Stomatella snail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are good.
It looks like a flat slug with a fingernail on it. It's a Stomatella snail. But it's funny because it's you don't really see them very often. I don't know if it's because you don't get live rock anymore.
I get quite a lot of those to come in on the corals. Do you? Yeah, because every time they come in, they usually, when you put the corals in the dip, they're annoyed. And so you start to see them moving, and then I take them out and put them in one of the tanks.
Yeah.
So okay. I save this. It's funny, even though they're like these tiny, like insignificant life things, I still go through and save any small little starfish, any little snails, and put them in there.
Whenever I take, so if I've got a refugium on my water box, and whenever I pull out the Kato to harvest it, there's always loads of little copepods and stuff. I try to save and rescue as many of them as
I can. Yeah, I know.
And it's like there's a million in there. What are you doing? But I just can't help myself.
Yeah. It's one of those things. You save them, you put them in the main display tank, and then the fish come and eat them. Because I've done that before as well.
That's exactly what I do. I try to get the attention of my orc fish because I like.
Oh, so you you save them to feed them?
Yeah. Well, sometimes I put them in. I put them in for my little puff, the little mimic filefish, because I like feeding him. But sometimes I put them in to try to rescue them. Someone just said it a minute ago. By the way, how can I help? How can I deal with velvet? And I'm afraid there's no solution. They'll probably be dead in 24 hours.
Yes. Metroplex is what... Is Metroplex for velvet? I think it is.
I thought there was basically nothing you could do about. I've never had velvet, fortunately.
One of the things...
When you Google Metroplex, it's a transformer.
Is it? No, I think copper is for ick and velvet, and Metroplex is for brook, I believe. That's
okay.
But one of them covers it, but generally with velvet, they're gone very quickly.
Sometimes
you don't even know, the fish don't even look ill when they're gone. So
on the Metroplex page on the website, on the CKM website, doesn't say anything about velvet. It says ick, cryptocurian, carrion, whatever. But oh no, the velvet, it does say velvet. Okay.
There you go.
But you're not going to want to put that in your reef tank, I'm guessing. Or can you put it in food and feed it that way?
You can put it in food. You can use Seachem's Focus and that will bind it to food and then feed it to the fish.
Oh, cool. Seachem Focus. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. It's like a little powder that you like if you want to feed fish medication. But the problem with that is you have to get it from America because no one sells Metroplex here. I don't know why. I don't think they're allowed to.
I bet because... it'll be a... Because basically, like in America, I feel like drugs are much less heavily regulated than they are over here.
Yeah.
Because there's all sorts of stuff that's over the counter over there that you can't even get here. So
yeah. So if you want some like back alley Metroplex, you let me know. So
yeah.
I just order it from America and they send it over and it's never a problem.
You have to get what's the stuff that does cyanobacteria? ChemiClean.
Yeah, ChemiClean.
That from America, don't you? I think it cost me about 30 quid. Half of that was postage last time.
Yeah. There's Prazipro as well is another one where, if you look at how much it costs over there, it's like $5. And here it's like £22. And you're like, and it's for like this little tiny vial of like 30 mils, I think is what's in it, of 29 mils. And I'm just like.
But even then, with like the ChemiClean, when I bought that, it's a small tub or whatever it is of powder. Yeah. But I used a tiny amount of it, and then that was it. I didn't need the rest, so I gave it away. It's like, because you feel hard done by. But
with the Prazipro, you have to use like a relative, like let's put it, say for a 900 liter tank, I have to use two of them.
Right.
So you could, and it's reef safe as well. People have said that sometimes the SPS don't like it and anemones, but generally it's considered reef safe. The instructions on it are interesting because it just says after 3 days, it will no longer be in your tank. And I'm like, where's it gone? Like, where does it go?
Yeah.
You can use copper and they say you can use water change as well to take out any remaining traces. But like, how does it just disappear? Does it leave via gas or something? I don't know. Other than that, as far as I'm concerned, it's still in there.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe, well, if it's dead and it's in there, doesn't really matter. Then it just decomposes and becomes bacteria food.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is, actually, if I'm honest.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Flukesolve is the same one. Yes, that is the same as but I've never used Flukesolve, but I have used PraziPro.
I've never used either, I don't think. I did get, when I was quarantining, when I first got into the hobby, I was looking for PraziQuantel. There were a few things I was looking for. And I ended up doing freshwater dips. Are terrifying. I hated them.
No, I'm used to them now.
The first time you do it.
A 3,000-pound angelfish. Yeah. And see how you feel then.
I think I did it with a mandarin or something. And it just, like, the fish, it looks like it's dead. And it's like, oh, my God. And you've got to hold your nerve and keep it in there for a minute or however long it is.
I don't allow it to get to the stage where it's lying down. I will keep it moving all the time.
Stress it out. Take it.
I'd rather it was swimming, so I knew that it's getting oxygen and things like that. So
I did it once and it wasn't for me. I didn't have a stomach. I bet if you do it a couple of times, it's like, it's fine.
Nothing anymore for me. I just match the temperature of RO water. That's it. Some people will match the pH and they'll put pH stuff in, but I don't know how effective that is, or how much of a big difference it makes. All I know is I use RO water, I match the temperature, I've never killed a fish, and the fish I have put in there are not, like, they're not cheap fish, if you see what I mean. What I do like, is when you put the fish in and then you see the little white, like, flukes come off, and you're like, yes, you know, this did something, if you see what I mean. So this made a difference.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't get the eggs, it's the same as most things.
Right. Okay. Digressed. What else happened? Was that your last expense in your week of reefing?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I would say, yeah. I think that's probably it. Because that is it. That's my week in reefing.
Excellent. So I've got a few things. So, actually, you mentioned earlier the dropping a thing in water. So when I set up the reef casa, they sent me two return pumps.
So
they sent me two return pumps because it's a Canadian company, and so they sent me one that was with a Canadian power or whatever, and then they sent me one with a UK adapter or whatever, and I accidentally plugged in the Canadian one to start with. And it started smoking. I could see smoke coming out of the water. Yeah. Oh, God. So unplug that quick. because I think it's like 240 volt. I don't really understand.
Something like that.
As you can tell. But yeah, it went like instantly. It was like, oh, my God. I thought I was going to die. Right? but yeah, so my tank breakdown has continued this week.
When you did your review, did you put the fact that they put two plugs in the box in your review?
No, because that was just for me. So that he sent me the pack, everything that it came with, and he also sent me one that I could actually use. Whereas
I know how much you love extra plugs, you see. So
I see. Right. Yeah.
So anyway, so I'll let you continue.
Yeah.
Before I start my rant about the iPhone not having a charger.
My tank breakdown has continued this week.
Yeah.
And it's accelerated at quite a pace. I've got rid of a few more corals, and what I've been doing is, because all my corals are encrusted onto the rock, so to get them off, I take the rock out, I get a crowbar and a hammer, and then smack the rock until they come off.
Do you do that while people are there? As you're like smashing off their new delicate coral.
Yeah. A guy came last weekend and took a load of colonies as well, acros. Yeah. And I was like, just hold that. And then I started smashing away. I was like, I promise this hammer and crowbar is not going to go touch your acros. Yeah. But weirdly, so I did that today with a forest fire Monty, and I was trying to chip away at the rock, and the forest fire just shattered it. Just it went into like three or four pieces, which is a shame. And then I smashed one of my acros, which was really annoying. But when I did this the other day with real reef rock, the real reef rock came away really easily. And I found that if you tap the real reef rock with a hammer and chisel or a crowbar, the real reef rock crumbles and the acro, the coral, stays perfect. I don't know if it's because it's stronger than the rock or whatever, because it's alive. I don't know, but it like the acro came clean off and it left behind the, I was expecting to smash it in half, but it worked really well.
It must be, it must literally just be where that must be the weak point. So you're right. You're correct. It must give it extra structure. So the weakest point is where it breaks.
Yeah. But it worked a charm. So if you want to, they're my special aquapora tools, because you know how delicate aquapora are.
Yeah,
well, I use a hammer and and crowbar.
That's what they use in the ocean as well when they collect them. So
really, okay.
Yeah, they literally just go out there and just start smashing bits off.
Yeah. It makes sense. It was quite easy. But the trouble is, I've listed most of my cards. I'm selling them on Ultimate Reef. So if you want to buy anything, go on Ultimate Reef and have a look. But I've listed most of them. But I've got one big island that I still need to pull out, and I need to break everything off. But it's massive and I can't face the prospect of doing it. I'm going to try to do it next week at some point. But just the idea, because all the corals, I mean, this was the island that I bought, is RR Aquascape. So it's got little frag plug holes.
Yeah.
So it's really easy because you can put the coral in and then just whip it out. But they've all grown over it completely. Yeah. Or half of them have anyway. So it's like, oh, so I've got to pull it out and crowbar it.
Are they like branches though?
Yeah.
Can't you just like break each branch?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to have to do. Yeah. But like, with some of them, I've been able to reach in and pull the frag plug out of the hole, easy.
Yeah.
But with most of them, I've got to take the whole thing. And this rock is heavy, and it's got corals on it that weigh a few kilos as well. And it's just going to And when you take it out of the water, you can't see. It's more difficult to see where the coral ends and the rock begins because it all just looks dark. So it's just.
You're not going to take a crowbar to my jack-o'-lantern, are you?
I did that today, actually, and it smashed.
Did you?
Smashed into three pieces, I think.
Oh, the price obviously must fall there if it's smashed into three pieces. Because I would never break it up.
You're getting three pieces now, so the price goes up.
The price of one, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I did that. That was on. I had in mind that was going to break perfectly. But it broke into three bits. But but that's, jack-o'-lantern's a funny one, because I used to think I was scared of fragging it, but actually you just snap it. It's like Monty.
Really, I remember you said on one of our very very first live streams. I think I'm pretty sure it was you who said I'm like, why? Literally just smash it up. It'll be completely fine.
Someone posted on the Facebook group advising about it and saying don't do it or something. And
yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, someone said don't do it, and I was like, I do it all the time.
But I'd avoided doing it because it looked fleshy to me. It's got like the skirt is like, it like flaps in the current. So I thought it's all going to be flesh, but it's just, you just snap it like a Monty. It's easy. But yeah, there we go. Oh, I was going to ask you from last week. I started asking you this question and then I forgot halfway through why I was asking you.
Okay.
But I've remembered. So
let's try and remain focused.
I know, yeah. God, I can't. Oh, what was I going to say? I'm joking. So last week you had a power cut, right? Or your power tripped, sorry.
Yes, yeah.
So what time did that happen? Midnight?
1 o'clock in the morning.
1 a.m. What time did you wake up and fix it, turn the power back on?
7, I think.
Were your MP40 still going on the battery backup?
Well, the fish are all alive, so I assume so. I'll be honest, I can't remember
the water moving.
I can't remember. They do, like, I don't know. I was too busy going, why is this water so hot? You see what I mean?
Oh,
so man, why does it smell funny? I wasn't like, let's go have a look at, see if the MP40s are running. You see what I mean? But
I think they probably would have been, but I was just interested to see in a real world situation when you've had them for years, those batteries you've had them for. Yeah, and or how long they last, because they're going to work. But
Had it probably last year where there was a planned power cut.
Yes,
and so they kicked in then. I knew it was going to happen, and it worked, and everything was fine. How long was the power cut? Five hours, I think. I think something like that. Yeah. The only thing that that does become a problem when the power goes out, which is interesting because it didn't seem to affect the digis this time, and I think it's because the lights were off, obviously, because it was in the middle of the night. The return pump obviously doesn't work, and all the digis are exposed to air, like because they're so close to the surface of the water. As the water level drops, the top inch doesn't is exposed. But I had it before when that happened. That was when the power cut was, where the top died. Whereas this time they didn't, and I don't know why that is. I don't know why, but
time. I don't because they can stay. I don't know about Monty's, but there are plenty of corals, plenty of aquos that live in really shallow water and get exposed to air every day.
Yeah, yeah. I was surprised. People sometimes ask me like, "Oh, how long can a coral be out of water?" I'm like, "Oh, a lot longer than you think it can be out of water."
Well, I've got one. I've got a dinner plate size slab of sunset Monty. And I'm going to try to sell it, but if I can't, I'm going to see if I can take it to my local fish shop, who probably won't want it because it's just a pain in the ass. But anyway, I was thinking, how would I get it there? Because I haven't got any container big enough. And I thought, well, what I'd probably do is just take it out, put it on a towel or something, and just drive it there in the dry. It's only half an hour, it'd be fine.
I know someone who did that with a different type of Monty, And it was like one of those, like, it was a huge, huge Monty.
Yeah.
And they just put it in the back of the car and just drove. Yeah. I kind of imagine the car smelled very nice afterwards.
No, and the shop would think I was weird if I did that. I'm going to try to avoid that anyway. But longer than you
thought. It was in water in the car. I just couldn't lift it out. So I just brought the Monty in.
I've had dreams, you know, before when I've had a tank that's run dry and there have been corals alive just in thin air. So I don't know what that tells
you. I think you've probably gone too far in the hobby if you're starting to dream about it.
I know, yeah. A couple more things. I have long suspected, Ryan, that I'm a genius, as I'm sure you have as well.
Oh, I've definitely long suspected the same thing. Yeah, sure.
Long suspected. And that has been confirmed this week. I actually am a genius.
Just quickly, we have spoken about the Dunning-Kruger effect before, haven't we? Where the people that think they're the smartest are often the dumbest.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, yeah. So it's not relevant. It's not relevant to this story. I'm just letting you know.
I don't understand the point, but okay. So, all right. Well, what I'm going to show you is. So, let me just get this up here. What do you think? What piece of equipment is in this jug? Would you?
It's actually hard to see from here, but it looks like it's a small return pump. It's a power head.
To the uninitiated, it might look like a power head.
Yeah.
But look at that. It's a power head running on a battery pack, just a phone charging battery pack.
You have to remember, on my screen, it's like this big. You're like, what is this tiny, tiny object in my hand?
It's not that big in real life. But the point is, so I found this. This has been running, by the way. I started the stopwatch. This is only a 10,000 milliamp. This is the thing that you use to charge your phone. It's an Anker 10,000 milliamp hour charger. It's been running for 5 hours so far. And it wasn't fully charged. And it's just this little power head has just been running along there, sat in this in the jug, and it's still going. And the reason that's significant is because if you want a battery backup on your tank, there are options. There's a Tunzi one, but it's a bit awkward. You need to research and know what you're doing to set it up. I'm sure it's easy once you've done it, but it looked like a pain in the ass, and that puts most people off. The Ecotec one, simple. You plug it in, job done. And that's why everyone buys it, because it's so easy. This, if you've got a small tank, you don't want an MP40 on it or an MP10. This is a tiny little power head. And if this works, if my plan works, this is perfect, because I can have a battery backup on all of my tank. Like on the Cade, I could have it on there. The problem with it is, at the moment, so this doesn't function, the battery pack does not function as an uninterruptible power supply. So when I plugged this into the mains earlier, the power head stopped working.
Okay.
And then when I unplugged it, it started working again. So it won't kick in automatically. But you can get, this is a UPS, an uninterruptible power supply for a wireless router. And it has little USB outlets. And that's the genius of this power head. Let me just get rid of that. You plug it in. The plug socket is a USB cable.
Yeah, I noticed that a minute ago.
In theory, I can plug it into the USB socket on this router UPS. And this is 27,000 milliamp hours. So it'll last for 18 hours, a long time. And in theory, I can plug it into that. And then I've got a battery backup without having to have Ecotec.
If if the tank was out for 18 hours, I'd be worried about more than just float.
Exactly.
Yeah. Serious problems.
Yes, but the point is, because every time the power goes out in my house, and it's normally if something trips it, I always think, like, it's going to be back on in 10 minutes. It's fine. But what if it's not? Or what if I was away and then I lose everything? Yeah. So, and I don't like that I don't have options. I've got one on my main tank because I've got the Ecotec one. But I love the idea of this being on all my other tanks. So I'm going to try it. I've ordered that UPS, by the way. I've ordered it today. It'll be here tomorrow. I don't know if it'll work because the Anker one doesn't work. But
you
if
love
it works,
buying stuff. Anything random you love buying.
I know. But this is about, I do need battery backup.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other option is this. And I tried this today. The power went out. The power tripped, of course. And this is my Anker 521. It is. So it's a big old battery. And I plugged in a little 12-volt return pump and just put it in my water box just to create some flow. And that worked. And that would have run for 20 hours. But none of my power heads are actually 12 volts. They're all 24 volts. So that can't work as an automatic solution.
Anyone who is listening that doesn't have a battery backup on their tank, it's like, as I've said this many times before, it's like having when you have one, buying one is like buying insurance. You don't want to pay for insurance because the chances are you won't need it. But when you do need it, you're very grateful you have it. And it was the cause of one of my biggest crashes. I lost, I think, probably between two and two and a half thousand pounds of fish in 4 hours before, because it was a very heavily stocked tank and there was just no oxygen and it was the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So every tank has had a battery backup on since. Over Christmas, my parents were in Australia and they had a power cut for a week because of a hurricane. Now that's not normal there. Right. But what I'm trying to say is at some point, something might come up. There was a power cut here for a week over Christmas one.
Christmas, you said, yeah.
Yeah. So if you think you don't need one, trust me, at some point you will. and once you get to that point, it's too late.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. I don't want to get to that point. So that's why I want these. And the power head is a TMC Reflow Nano, and the smallest one is the only one, 1,000 liters power. That's the only one that has a USB socket.
Yeah, yeah.
That you can also get. It's made by ZKSJ. You can get it for 50 quid online. So 50 quid for that, 80 quid for the power for the PSU UPS. Sorry, £130 in total will get you a battery backup, a power head, and that doesn't use an extra plug socket like the MP40 one does. So I might just have. come up with the best solution ever for nano tank.
As they very small tanks, maybe not me.
Exactly. And I was thinking actually potentially this could work on any tank. Obviously that a pump that size isn't going to move much water, but if that was in your main tank, it would still disturb the surface of the water. So if you just add it in as a redundancy issue, it could work. I think probably
it definitely would work. You could have it right at the surface where it's literally going like pulling as much air as possible.
Yeah.
It would just mean you'd have to have another power head in your tank, which I'm not sure that
it's
would want.
Tiny. It's the size of a 50p coin, but I know what you could hide it by the wheel. But anyway, for small tanks like the Cade, it's perfect because you'll never see it. And if there's a power cut, I'm happy. And actually, I'm going to put it on the Reef Casser because I need a power head and that's tiny, so that's perfect. But there we go. So I might actually not be a genius, because the thing is, whenever you discover something and you can't find out, and you see this all the time, right, on forums, Facebook, everywhere, Instagram, you see it where someone will say, they'll tell you what they want to do, whether it's putting powdered kalkwasser directly into the tank or whatever it is.
Whoa, who would ever do that?
Exactly. But some niche idea that nobody else does. And it's like, there are two possibilities here. Number one, you're a genius and you've thought of something that no one ever has. Yeah. Or number two,
you're about to kill everything.
Loads of people have thought of this before and it's a bad idea, which is why no one does it.
Yeah.
So there's every chance that this is the second category. But I'll report back.
I don't think it'll be the second category.
I think it'll work, to be fair.
I think it'll work.
I'm sure other people already do it. This is not my invention. But because UPS, normally a proper UPS that you use for your computer, is no good for a reef tank because they run out really quickly. But this, it's a very low draw. It's a 5-watt power head. So it'll run for hours. I mean, this has been running for 5 hours on a half charged little one. So
It doesn't look like it's making much flow if it's in a little jug, though.
No, it's not. But I had it in a 10-liter bucket earlier, and it was making enough flow.
Sorry. It's not like is it turned down at the moment?
No, there's only got one setting. It's either on or off. Okay. It does pulse. It's funny. I watched the video, the official video for this earlier. I probably shouldn't criticize the manufacturer, but they had it in a tank. It was a tank probably the size of the Cade, so relatively big for such a tiny power head. And they were trying to demonstrate the flow, but the video was sped up. And that was the only... Yeah, and I don't know if this was deliberate, but it looked like they were trying to speed the video up to make it look like the water was moving more quickly.
You're right. Probably best not to criticize a manufacturer. Because so far, we've got through 45 minutes, and as far as I know, we haven't upset anyone yet.
But anyway, whatever. But the point is, so I think actually that video, it was on too big a tank. If it's on a small tank like the Reefcaster, it's perfect, because you don't want a big powerhead. But anyway, £130 for that complete setup. The Nero 3 is £175 just for the pump. No battery backup. So that's not bad value, potentially.
Yeah.
But I'll report back, and we will confirm if I'm a genius. Two other questions for you. Firstly, are you up for doing a live stream? Someone asked me today, and I've been thinking about doing this for a while, a live stream on your DIY dosing setup.
You're putting me on the spot here. You're asking me in front of all these people.
This is how I do things, Ryan. You know this.
When you say DIY dosing, I'm assuming you just want to know what...
Basically, like you mix up calcium, alkalinity, and magnesium.
Yeah, I don't mind.
I want to know what you buy, where you buy it from, just so it's so basically someone can watch the live stream and go away and make their own dosing elements.
No problem. Are you paying for the consultation for this? I'm just joking.
I pay you in advertising.
I'm just joking. I've spoken about it loads of times. So yeah, I don't mind doing
it. Do it properly. Okay. Actually, do you know what? So I told you earlier.
What's funny? Most people, I think only one person, all the consultations I've ever done has asked that question.
What are the DIYs? Advanced question, isn't it?
It is quite advanced,
Even I don't do my own dosing stuff.
Jamie now does, because he asked me about it the other day, and I sent him the recipe. So.
So I think I might do it at some point, but it's one of those things where I go back and forwards. I think, well, on the one hand, when you spend as much money as we do on our tanks, what's the point of saving £20 a month or whatever, when you can just get it all mixed up and it's easy?
But that's £240 a year.
But that's the thing. The other side of that is, well, why spend that much money when you can get it for literally a tenth the cost? It's like, so I go back and forwards on it, but we'll do that, because I just think it'd be useful for people to know.
Yeah, I don't mind doing it. What was the second question?
Second question was, so I'll be setting up a new tank soon, 6 foot, similar to yours.
Yeah.
It's not quite as wide as yours, but it is wider than my current tank front to back, which is narrowing it down. You might be able to work out what tank I'm going for from that. But anyway, I've deleted my question. Wrong one. If you were setting up, the question is, what did you learn from set? Because every time I set up a tank, no matter how long I've been doing it, I learn new stuff. So what did you learn, and what would you do differently from your water box?
I don't, with regards to doing things differently, I don't think I would. What I did learn is that, and I learned this from every single tank that I've ever set up, every tank is completely different. And I expect you to have this experience as well. So you are a very successful SPS acro keeper. You might find the next tank you have, like the stages of like the cycling and everything, will not be anywhere near as smooth as you did it previously. And the tank does what it wants. You might have diatoms or dinoflagellates or cyano or anything. Now, I've not dealt with those in previous systems, but in this one, I did. So you're always learning. And every time you think you know like a lot about the hobby, it will come back and kick you in the butt. So you might, as I said, it might be really smooth for you. I will be honest with you, and I've said this before, and I try and be open with people. During one of the consultations I had the other day, I said to the guy, so there are two issues with when I do the consultations. I tried to work out, is it a knowledge thing that's missing, or is it an effort thing that's missing? I had a conversation with someone the other day, and I said, look, I know what it's like to not want to put the effort in or to lose that thing. And the reason I know that is because I put a lot of effort into the farm because I have to, because it's like there's a lot of money there, but I don't have that same desire for the water box, which is why I understand how people feel. And usually when people come to me, they are at that stage when they go, look, I'm fed up now. So would I obviously I'm quarantining now, which is different to when I first set it up. But I don't think I would do the rest of it differently, if I'm honest. I think I did it how I would do it going forward. I just wasn't prepared for the hassle that would come with a problem, if you see what I mean, because I hadn't dealt with it before.
Okay.
So, I'm actually looking forward to seeing...
Really useful, thanks. Oh, cheers. You do nothing different.
No, as I said, I kind of just... I'm not that far. Remember, as far as I'm concerned, I'm still only like a month in. I've only got fish in there. So I'm not that far into it. Although I've had it for almost a year now, I'm not that much further forward.
Has it been a year?
No. I got it in like, I think I set up in like, oh yeah, it's been a year, February.
Bloody hell, that's crazy.
Yeah. It's, and look, it had its ups and downs, didn't it? It was going really, really well. And then the fish died. And then I lost the enjoyment from it. And, but now I've actually got that enjoyment back now. So, and I'm looking to get a new fish, which there's a couple of choices. I've noticed that there's a couple of like, remember, I like expensive fish these days because I've had every other fish you can possibly imagine. And the farm's full of them. There are two. A black tang is the most likely because I've seen a few knocking around at the moment.
Okay.
And I would possibly be tempted by an Achilles, which is a terrible idea.
Where would you quarantine it yourself?
Yes, of course, absolutely.
I was wondering if you'd find somewhere to quarantine it for you, because that's a small quarantine tank you've got.
Yeah, but I want a small one. I don't want a big one.
I've never seen a proper small Achilles.
It's 70 liters, the tank. I am tempted by an Achilles. This is one of those things, because this is another thing during the consultations I do with people. People go, I want a powder blue tang. I really want a powder blue tang. And I go, that is not a good idea. Don't get it. Whereas sometimes I don't listen to myself.
Yeah,
I love how I'm talking. Everyone's distracted by the cat.
This is Fred Dimas. Doctors make the worst patients. So
yeah, I'm usually pretty good at not buying things that I know are a terrible idea, and I think an Achilles is. The only thing I'm thinking is I'm just going, well, if I quarantine it this time, in theory, there's no more risk really than other fish, because that's the main issue with Achilles is quarantine is disease. If there's no disease, then in theory it should be fine.
You've got to be pretty confident that you get quarantine perfect though.
Yes, that
and
is
what, so with your tiger Angel,
yeah,
didn't you take it out early because it was suffering? Now, you've talked about this on the stream before.
Yeah, no, I know you're not giving away any information. I'm just going shh, because I want to talk about it again. The Angel wasn't happy. It was no.
So what do you do
happy.
If you've spent 300 quid on an Achilles tang? It's struggling.
Do you think Achilles tang has cost 300 pounds?
Is it half, double that, or
it's more. I think the last Achilles tang, look, I saw a shop was like 600 pounds.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, obviously,
so there you go.
You spent
600 quid on Achilles tang. Picture the scene. It's been in your copper for a week. It's struggling. You do a full 100% water change. It still struggles. Do you just let it die, or do you put it in your main tank?
No. What I would probably do is I would drain the whole tank and start again. Start the quarantine period.
Yeah. But so let's say you do that and it's still struggling.
No, I would just keep quarantining it. I'd quarantine it with no copper, and then I'd keep. But that's actually less of what my concern is. My actual main concern is because the only time I ended a quarantine early, and it was at like day 17 or 18 or whatever. So quarantine is usually 2 weeks, and then you do another 2 weeks. You can put them in an observation tank, but I don't do that. I keep them in that for the whole time, just to make sure, because of the life cycle of the parasites. If I got it wrong the first with the king eye and then didn't wipe it out in that first 14-day cycle, and then on the 18th day put it in the tank, in theory that means the tank's got it in, it's just not showing up. So then it doesn't matter if you quarantine the Achilles, you then put it in the tank and then it gets it. You see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know anything about quarantining fish, so, you know.
Yeah. It's a terrible idea for so many reasons.
I was going to say, so let's say for the sake of argument, you quarantine it and it's cured. It's got no parasites, nothing whatsoever. It's the perfect fish. And we'll assume that all of your fish in your tank are the same and that you haven't brought white spot in on a snail or something unlucky like that.
Yeah.
So let's assume all of that.
There's still more issues.
Yeah. What about the aggression?
They are aggressive. They are prone to not eating. They are stressed very easily. They need an incredibly high flow tank because that's actually what stresses them out. They need a really high flow to make them feel calm. So all of those things tell me it's an absolutely terrible idea. A black tank in comparison is like a 10 on a out of 10 on the idea scale, whereas an Achilles is like a 1 out of 10 on the idea scale.
But you still might do it.
I think it would be very, very unlikely, if I'm honest.
I should say, although I'm highlighting all the negatives, I'd love it because they're a stunning fish.
Yeah. If I saw the right one, it was about this big, which you never see.
I've never seen even they're normally sort of 4, 5, 6 inches long.
Yeah, I've seen smaller ones than that, but okay. But I've never seen where you get like some tangs, you get like baby form. Yeah. So if it was the right size, then I would consider it. But
okay,
I was given an Achilles once. It came from a tank breakdown. It was the one that burst, and it didn't survive. So
I know.
It was just one of those that I've already had a negative experience, but I've never actually bought one myself. If you see what I mean.
Mm. Well, it'd be cool if you did do that.
Oh, don't tell me all the negatives and then go, oh, yeah, but even though it's negative, it would be cool if you still got it.
It would, because I wouldn't want it, but I like it when you experiment. It was a bad idea to get a load of angelfish and put them in with LPS, but you were going to do that.
I'm still going to do it. My plan is still the same. It hasn't changed. And if the diatoms weren't there, the tank would have loads of like coral and stuff in it now. But like we don't choose the path that we go on with our tanks. The tank chooses it for ourselves, I think, for itself. Yeah. And we're just along for the ride.
You've been in the hobby, what, 15 years now, maybe longer?
17 years now.
17 years. You get bored of, you don't want to buy another clownfish. You don't want to buy another goby or whatever. You're like, I want something spicy.
That's exactly what it is. And that's why that tank has... If you look at the water box, it has the King Eye in it, which I've never had before. It has a Majestic in it, which I've never had before, other than maybe like for a day. And then I put it in, it started eating coral, so I took it out. It's got a Jewel Tang, which is not one of the fish that I've had like before. It's got a Yellow Tang, and then it's got two Assessors. So that if I want to reignite my love of that tank, what I need to do is put coral in it that I don't have. I need to go out and find coral in shops or wherever that makes me excited and then go, right, that's going in the water box because that will reignite that passion for me. Whereas what I tried to do before was be cheap and just take my own corals and put them in there.
That's the thing. It
doesn't feel special. It just feels like an extension of what I'm already doing.
That I tried that with my main tank that I'm now shutting down. When I first set that up, I had just Stylo, Montes, some acros, but those sorts of staghorns, boring corals.
Yeah.
No offense. But, and I just didn't, I wasn't up for it. I was just like, it's boring. So I found I needed, in inverted commas, acros.
Yeah.
Spicy, but, go on, sorry.
That's what I will need to do. I need to just be like everyone else and go and buy stuff, go round shops. Because I think that's like probably 50% of the fun of the hobby. You go somewhere, you have no idea what you're going to find. And then you go and then you don't know what you're going to come home with that day, especially if you're buying coral. With fish, you usually can roughly know what you want. But with coral, you just go, wow, I've never seen like that one of that coloration, or that's got some weird like growth format or whatever on it. So it makes it exciting. Whereas I don't have that anymore because I don't ever go to shops.
Mm.
So it's stuck with a shop tour.
We still need to do that shop tour. I'll take a day off work or something and we'll do it. There's a question. John Wright says, are you keeping all your live rock for your new tank? No, I'm not. I'm getting rid of all of my... I'm going to shut the tank down completely, sell all the corals, all the... Well, throw the rock away, basically. I don't think there's any reason. Oh, I just can't store it anywhere. I've not got any pests on it. Like, there's no Aptasia. Aptasia didn't ever come back, weirdly. But anyway, I'm going to get rid of all of that. I'll keep the fish. I've transferred some of my favorite acros, frags of them, into my water box. So they're in there now, but I don't know if I'll keep them. But I'm not going to transfer the live rock. But I am the rock that is in my water box that is probably 2 feet long, well, probably 18 inch square, more or less. That is going into the new tank. So it'll be kind of instantly cycled in a way. Although I'm going to do the Red Sea cycling bacteria process thing. Because that's basically the same as I did on the reef cat. I actually quite liked that process.
Yeah, I did it. I liked it as well.
Although what I did realize was, so when I set up my current tank, my Peninsula 500, I didn't have an ugly stage. And that was partly because I put some bottled bacteria in, put a fish in from day one, but I also transferred some live rock from my existing tank, and that's effectively what I'm doing on this one. So I'm hoping that'll mean it'll be okay. But
I actually really think that the reason I struggled so much with, so the tanks I set up previously were, I had used vast quantities of live rock. We had no pest on it, so there's no reason not to like transfer, like, and it genuinely no Aptasia, nothing on them. I look back now and think I was incredibly lucky, because I bought that rock secondhand. I had no idea what I was doing, and it just came with no pests.
Yeah, okay.
So whereas this tank was far more sterile, like it was a bottle of bacteria, you put the fish in, it's not the same. It just isn't. And that's what I'm wondering, if you will struggle, because if you used a lot of live rock before and you're using a small amount this time, I wondered if it's going to be the same.
It's for the size of the tank, it's not a lot, but there's a significant amount. It's literally 18 inches wide, 18 inches front to back.
Oh, okay.
And,
so it is
and
a lot.
About a foot tall. So it's a lot. And it's been in that tank for about 14 months, I think. So
thinking you were going to put like a little bit in the sump.
Oh, no. I did that in the recast, tiny little cube. No, this is a lot going in.
Yeah.
It's probably about a quarter of the overall scape, but still it should be okay. He says,
yeah,
but like you say, all tanks are different, and who knows,
you're gonna be like, oh Ryan, everything's fine, I don't even know what you're worried about.
Yeah, and then 2 seconds later, dinos, algae, cyanobacteria, the works.
It definitely pushes you to your limit sometimes.
Yeah,
like and it's definitely so. I think the first 6 months probably are the most dangerous time for a reefer with regards to leaving the hobby, because sometimes you can have relative success for like the first 4 months, and you're like, oh, well, I've never had an ugly stage. Everything's going fine. I'm not sure why people are so worried. Which is exactly what happened in the water box. I never had an ugly stage for months and months and months, and then all of a sudden it was like, bam.
Well, that's it. So, excuse me. People keep asking for updates on the reef catter tank, which I'm just trying to see when I set it up exactly when. What's the date on that first video? Where's the date on these videos? Doesn't actually say.
It's sweet. Oh, November. It's sweet that your followers still are still asking you for updates. Mine gave up long a time ago.
We'll come back onto that. So I set up on around the 24th of November, and it's been 3 months now. Then. And I've got a tiny, like when the lights are off and like the room lights are on, and so the light is yellow, you can see a little 6 o'clock shadow of algae.
Yeah.
But there's no like hair algae or anything. I haven't had an ugly stage as yet, but, and I'll do an update at some point, but I don't want to do an update now, because I'll be saying, oh, look, it's fine.
Yeah.
But 3 months is still early.
As far as I'm concerned, if your tank has got to the stage where it's growing hair algae, that is like the perfect position to be in, because usually it means you've gone through everything else.
Well, that's,
and you just put a tang in.
I did. That's why I put an urchin in today.
Yeah.
A small one. But I think it will actually be okay. And I found that I think it'll be all right. And I think I've got through all the worst of it. But who knows? I've not tested that tank for ages. And the plan is, I'm really enjoying, like at the moment, I didn't have to do a water change on my main tank today, because when I'm taking out the corals, it's basically a water change anyway. I gave away like 40 liters of water last week. So I didn't have to do a water change on that. My cade is doing better without water changes at the moment, because I've got that little mat of cyano or whatever it is. And since I've left it for a few weeks, it started to fade away. So maybe it's a nutrient thing, I don't know. So I only have to do water changes on my water box, and it's brilliant. It's so nice having to do one water change instead of four.
Once your main tank's empty, you won't want to get another one.
I know.
It's going to be like, so nice. Oh, it's so much easier.
Yeah. It's going to be good for a little bit. How does Waterbox feel about you not doing weekly updates as promised? You didn't promise.
I know. Yeah, they Waterbox have actually never ever contacted me again after like they got so the tank.
Yeah.
And that's the ideal thing. The other thing is you have to remember, like, that is my main tank. So it's like my house tank. So they will have updates, and I'm not going to get rid of that tank ever, if you see what I mean. I'm not going to upgrade. It's a beautiful tank. I'm not going to, like, it's perfect basically for the tank that I want. So they will just continuously have updates
for
as long as I have it, for years. So I don't think they're worried about that. Plus, everyone gets an update on here all the time. They get an update on Instagram occasionally.
Yeah, Instagram, but on here you don't show it, and not showing it is what matters. But it's the same with the tank that I'm getting.
I disagree. I don't think showing is what matters. I think the fact that both of us have a discussion about a brand, which is then putting that brand into people's minds every single week, so that when they're thinking, oh, what tank should I have? Those two idiots that are on that live stream every week. Oh, sorry, one idiot and one stable genius.
And Alex.
they talk about Waterbox. I'll have a look into that.
Seeing is believing. So if you've got the tank there, no one's going to buy a Peninsula 500 off this back of this video. But if I was sat with the tank behind me, it's more likely. So
I know what you mean.
But it's really, I love that they don't pester you and they don't say, Ryan, mate, you agreed to do 50 videos or whatever, where you've only done 49. Where's the other? I love that because you don't feel any pressure. And so with the tank I'm getting, I'll make a few videos doing the setup. But to be completely honest, if those videos don't do really well, I'll drop off. I won't make as many. If they do well, I'll keep going. If people want to watch them, I'll keep making them. If people don't want to watch them, there's no point making them. I'll make some still. But let's say for the sake of argument, I make three videos and the company who give me the tank might not be satisfied with that. But the reality is that what they will be satisfied with, and I know this because I've talked to them, is that tank will be in 90% of my videos. Because if I want to make a video about lights, I'm like, here's my lights, this is my tank. And so it's like naturally, and it's good for me to be able to show that, and it's good for them that I do show it. So it's kind of, that's the best type, because then it's, I'm not like trying to push and sell. I don't feel like I have to sell it. It's just there.
I have a question for the people in the comments section. How many people know the brand of my tank, but don't know the brand of the tank behind Alex? So don't say what it is.
Okay.
Because obviously you said seeing is believing. So, well, I can see your tank, but I bet there's people who don't know what that tank is.
Do you know what brand?
Yeah, don't say in the comments what it is. Oh, for God's sake, people are putting in the comments now.
But don't know what. No, that I can't think about a word that. But I talk about that. It's a Cade.
We've ruined it.
And I always say the Cade because it's easiest to. That's the easiest way to.
We have one person who said no. I'm assuming he says no. Look, this isn't like a thing. This is about if you don't know, not if you do know.
Yeah, but no, it's I like that Waterbox don't pester you. I think that's brilliant because if they pester you. That you then feel obliged. It's like you're not making a video because you want to. You're making one because they're trying to push you. Whereas if you don't want to, it'll be more natural. It's better for everybody. So
the other thing that I do know as well, I think I know of six people who have bought water boxes. And these are just the people who told me they bought them because they saw my video and because I had one. Yeah. So if that's six people that I just happen to have spoken to, how many people have bought them that haven't told me they bought them, if you see what I mean? Mm. And let's put it this way, the cost of building that tank and the cost, the profit on six tanks would have paid for itself.
Yeah,
so it's like, you see what I mean? And as I said, they're going to have advertising forever. Like, when I say forever, I mean... Like,
well, those videos are up on... Once you put something on the internet...
Yeah, they're there forever. Yeah, that's true.
So, but anyway, What was it? What else was I say? Oh, so that is my week in reefing, by the way. I haven't got anything else. But one thing I did realize, right, that I saw today, I'm going to have to sue reef builders.
Not good.
That's right. I'm coming for you, because what I saw today was, and they put this isn't the first time they've done it. This is from reef builders.
Yeah.
This week in reefing. I'm sorry. I thought I invented week in reefing.
Oh, I see.
So,
but they said this week in reefing, not week in reefing.
Yeah, that's because they think they're being clever and they're trying to change it enough so I can't sue them, but I can.
Well,
I've looked it up, and this is $1 million lawsuit. So
why do you need to look it up? Because you're like, aren't you like the UK's number one like person who sues people, like lawyer person?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm going to have to sue someone else as well, Ryan.
Is it me?
No, it's Maidenhead Aquatics.
Not good.
And this is even worse, even more blatant, because what they've started doing...
Is it just a picture of you?
Now, this video on the left here, Maidenhead Aquatics news headlines.
Yeah.
And they've done this two or three times now.
Oh, they put the news.
The news. I invented news.
Yeah, okay.
All right? You can't just copy it. You need my permission. If you want to run news, license it for me. So,
do you know what happened to me? It happened a few times, this happened. And you would think, like, why would you pick me as the person? So people were taking pictures of corals, which I took pictures of from my website, other fish shops, and using them on their website. And it's like, if ever there's like some proper like some like the most well recognized pictures, from if you see what I mean, like it would be my ones, wouldn't it? Like if it's a UK thing.
Yeah.
Why would you pick my ones to put on your website? Because then people just message me going, this shop is using your pictures.
Which shop was it?
I don't want to mention it.
I bet I know which one it is.
You won't.
Oh, okay. Fair
you,
enough.
As in, you, it, I think it would surprise you if you knew which one it was.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
You can take a guess.
No, because I'm not playing that game. Yeah. And now, oh, bollocks. John Wright's pointing out BBC are going to sue me.
That's true.
But
that's
if you true. Go back and look at the first time we did news and go back at the first time we did BBC did news, we've been doing it a while.
We were first, yeah. That's true.
This is episode 37. So, yeah. how many BBC newsers have there been?
37 episodes. We have spoken about nonsense for 37 episodes. You say 74
hours.
74 hours of how much of my life have I wasted?
Invested.
Three whole days.
But actually, so. Joking aside, I was going to mention this last week. The Maidenhead Aquatics news, they've started doing a monthly news update. And I was going to talk about this in the news. So you can subscribe to the Maidenhead Aquatics YouTube channel if you want their news. A lot of it is freshwater. And some of it is basically talking about Maidenhead Aquatics news. But it's still worth, if you watch any old rubbish on you, not that it's any old rubbish, if you watch everything, if you watch everything on YouTube like I do, then it's
if
worth.
If you watch any
worth.
Old rubbish on YouTube, like Ryan's channel,
I heard it as I started saying it. No, go and watch. You can subscribe to the Maidenhead Aquatics sign, and they do a monthly news update. Although when they've paid out the $1 million lawsuit, they won't be doing it anymore. So you know.
You'll own them by the end of this, won't you?
Exactly. Yeah. So what else is coming up? Right, so next up then is member questions. And there's actually one thing I was going to pull up on the Facebook page, which is something you texted me a picture of earlier. And I'm not going to start with
a picture of earlier.
We'll tell you. Member questions first off. So there's one thing from Nano Nana. Who I'm going to come back to you. We're going to do that when we get to the news. But the questions were, first one was from I Like Weird Fish. He says, will you be visiting reefprostore.com? You ever heard of that? Me neither. They have the market cornered in stupidly expensive but ugly fish. They also have a reputation for delivering dead fish and not paying people back. That is not my.
I was going to say, I'm not sure you should be reading this out because that sounds terrible. Like... And you don't know, do you?
No,
it's
reefprostore.com. Check out their 15 grand tricolor scopus. Well, so that's that is those are not my words. Okay, I'm just reading out something that this guy said. But
now
no,
you're going to get sued.
No, I've never heard of Repro Store, but I presume it's an American site because he's talking
it
about
$15.
Yeah, so but no, never heard of it. But if they sell $15,000 fish, I'm unlikely to visit it.
I think they quarantine their fish, which is why they, I think that I'm just having a look now.
I wonder if it's who's the guy that BRS uses.
No, it's not them. Marine collectors.
Marine collectors. Yeah,
they do have a £15,000, a $15,000 white tricolor Scopus tang, which is like white. It's worth having a Google later.
Okay.
Maybe you can do it now if you want, but maybe later.
The one thing I will say, so that statement, the guy who said they have a reputation for delivering dead fish and not paying people back, I'd be pretty surprised if that's the case. If it's a high-end place like that,
yeah,
that's the fast way to ruin your business. And people who can afford £15,000 for a fish are very principled. So if you piss them around, you lose their business. So I'd be amazed if that's the case. But every now and then, someone will say something like that. Like someone said something about frag box corals. Yeah. And they messaged me and say, oh, they're awful. And it's like every now and then you'll come across someone who has a bad experience. Fragbox, everybody I've ever spoken to loves Fragbox because they're wicked on YouTube. They've got a good reputation for that sort of stuff. And every now and then you'll come across someone who will have a bad experience and they'll post something like that. And it's like, I'm not going to pay any attention to that because I don't know what your biases are.
that's what the problem with that sort of statement is, that people in this day and age, it's too easy for people's reputations to be ruined. So if that was true, I can't imagine they'd have a lot of customers, if you see what I mean. I don't know anything about this company, if you see what I mean. It's the same as with I don't want to get into it anyway, so. But you see what I mean. Like, in this day and age, people will post anything and everything online, and it's like a fire that usually gets more and more and more attention. So, like, I don't know. There's a few people comment. Look, I want to move on from this because I don't think it's fair. I don't know this company, and I don't think it's fair.
That's the same person who's saying the same thing. But anyway, look, yeah. Nice cat, Alex, says Reef Adventure. So more questions. And Lysia Reese says, I have one small 90-litre tank that had a white spot outbreak that was full of my corals. I've moved the fish out of that tank to treat them so it's fallow. I've set up a 250-litre tank and wanted to use some of the corals from the 90-litre in the new one. Is there any way of dipping or other methods that I can use on those corals to ensure no parasites get transferred? Blah blah blah. I think that you've got to, if it's fishless, then, and I don't know if this is all parasites, but most parasites let's rephrase that. Ick, for example, white spot, has to have a fish host to live. So if there's no fish in the water for 90 days or whatever it is, I can't remember the period.
I think it's like three months, I think it is.
Yeah, for whatever it is, then they can't exist beyond that because they need to find a fish host. So in theory, with ick at least, if you leave it long enough, you can then transfer it across safely. I don't know if that's the case with other diseases. So I wouldn't be confident telling you. That sounds like it's the sort of thing that I think I would probably be okay with, but I don't know, so I wouldn't be confident telling you, I'm afraid. But someone has replied to you, so go and have a look on that when you finish with this.
Now it's interesting because look, we're getting, and this isn't a criticism, we're getting months. Different things coming on the chat for different amounts of days.
Yeah.
So, I think I left the water box for 3 months, I think, but maybe that was overkill.
Yeah. And no worries. I like weird fish. I'm just. Saying, for, you know, I'm not having to go at you. As I think you realize. Anyway, so next one was JJS, who says, I am looking to add a specific fish, but my question is about minimum. Oh, I like this question. Minimum tank sizes in general. He's got an innovative marine 100 gallon, so it probably is less than that. It's a 48 inch by 24 by 20. He wants a female Genacanthus melanospelos, which I think is the swallowtail angel. But it seems every site that you look on is in agreement that it needs at least 125 gallons long term. His last tank was 150 gallon, 48 inches tall. No, 48 inches by 24 by 30. Do those 10 inches in height really matter? Or would my fish have been too small? So with one thing with that is fish sizes, in terms of tanks, most of the websites will say, 100 gallon is the minimum.
Yeah.
And when you look at, if you go on the website, if you go on the Red Sea website and look up a Red Sea reefer 250, it will say it's 250 liters, but that's total system volume. And that's total system volume before displacement. So before you put in rocks, corals, all that sort of stuff. So actually the display tank is much, much less. And the guides that say you must have 125 gallons, that means 125 gallons of swimming space.
Yeah.
But the other thing to say is it's not an exact science.
I never thought of it like that. I genuinely have never thought of it as 125 gallons of swimming space.
Okay.
I have literally just, I just thought that's that tank size, whatever you put in it. I understand that you could fill it with rocks, so there's no swimming space. But I've always just, I've never taken in rock into consideration.
I don't mean rock. Rock isn't really, that's not really relevant, to be honest. It's the, but it's there's the size of the display tank. So forget if you
If
you've got a 200 gallon tank, 100 gallons is in the sump, 100 gallons is in the main tank. It's not a 200 gallon tank for the purposes of choosing fish, is what I'm saying.
Yes,
but, but the other thing is, it's not an exact science. So all the websites that say this fish needs 125 gallons, well, what does that mean? That's just a random figure, isn't it? It's not completely random, but it's not like if you buy a 125 gallon tank and this fish, it will be fine. And I tend to play with those rules. So I have plenty of fish that, if you look at the minimum recommended tank size, it's way bigger than my tank. But short and medium term is generally fine. But you do have to be prepared to move them on if they get too big, because some fish do get too big. And it
some fish also don't get too big as well. As in, like their estimated size, they never get to that for some reason. Not all, some of them definitely do. But for example, my 17-year-old purple tang is like this big, even though it's always been in a 1,000-litre tank, just never, and that would be considered acceptable for a purple tang. Whereas I have another purple tang, which is like double the size of it and probably younger.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
But so I personally would, 4-foot tank, swallowtail angel, I'd get it. Although the females get quite big.
The females are usually the small ones.
Males get quite big in that
case. Yeah, the males.
One of them gets big, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, but I would be okay with that. I do that all the time, and I don't think I've given up looking at minimum guides. I still look at them, but I don't take it as a hard and fast rule. I've got on my 150 liter water box, I've got a Tummany tang, and I don't know what minimum tank size it is, but I bet it's more than 150 liters.
Yes, definitely.
5 years time, that'd be a problem.
Yeah,
he's not going to be in there in 5 years time. But now it's fine. So I don't know. I don't think you can just look at it and say Live Aquarius says 125 gallons, therefore 125 gallons is insufficient. But you should pay attention to it, and it's probably better to be cautious than gung ho like I am.
I also, people often upgrade, I think, over a period of time, especially if it's in the time it takes to get to a full big fish size. People have usually upgraded a few times over that period. Well, I did. When I say people, I'm referring my own experience.
Most people upgrade. There aren't many people who buy a tank and then keep it for 10 years.
Have you ever had a fish which has outgrown your tank?
I don't actually think so. You know, I had a fish but that this, got...
This is what I mean. I think people often pay attention to that. But has anyone had a fish that's outgrown their tank?
People will do, but
I think.
I had a Harlequin tusk fish that I put it in, and it should never have gone in there in the first place. So it outgrew it immediately, but that's different. I had a purple tang that got too aggressive, but that's just because that's what he is, you know. So, and again, that was probably more a case of he shouldn't have been in there in the first place. So I don't think I've ever had a fish that I've bought, it's grown too big and I've had to move on. But I have seen, I saw the other day on YouTube, there was I can't remember what it was, but someone was tang policing this guy.
Yeah.
And he had, I think it was like a 4-foot tank, and he had a dory, a hippo tank, and it was big.
Yeah.
And someone was like, it's too big, it makes me sad, all this sort of stuff. And so it does happen, but I don't think it's ever happened to me. I can't think of a time when it has.
Yeah, I definitely had, when I had the 1,000-liter tank before the power cut, I think you get so used to seeing the fish that you don't actually notice them grow. And then sometimes when someone else comes in that knows what they're doing, they go, oh, that's a big sailfin tang. You go, oh, because I remember buying it this big. So now there's like this big, it just you don't notice it so much, which is why I think it gives you an illusion that fish don't outgrow the tank, if you see what I mean. For example, you have some, I don't know if you still have them, but you had a yellow wrasse, which is like, when I saw it, I was like, that's the biggest yellow wrasse I've ever seen. Because normally you see them, they're like this, aren't they? But you probably don't notice it anymore because you've had it for so long.
It's like if you've got a kid and your parents don't see it for 6 months, they come along and go, oh, hasn't he grown? You're like, oh, has he?
Yeah.
You don't notice. Yeah, it's the same thing. Like, same, you know. So that's an interesting point. The wrasses, they were fine, to be fair, in that tank. But I bet they would have been happier in a longer tank. It's always better to err on the side of course. People often ask about, I get asked quite a lot on YouTube on the comment section, I want a 20-litre tank. Can I put 2 clownfish in? And it's always like, it's quite small. When I had the Fluval Evo, that was 40 litres after displacement. It advertises at 53 litres, but it's not. I had 2 clownfish in there and that was okay, but that was probably too small, if anything. I wouldn't want to go any smaller. And if you've got a tank that's 20 or 30, even on my little Marif Casa, how many? I think that's about 30 or 40 litres. And I've got a mimic filefish in there. That tank's too small for him. He's happy.
I want to know what the adult size of a mimic filefish is.
I don't think they get too big, but I bet it'll say double that size is the minimum recommended.
So a 30 gallon or larger is the recommended size.
It's about half that. It's half that. Yeah. Sorry, it's right. It's half.
And a maximum size of 10 centimeters or 4 inches.
Wow, that's big. I'd be surprised if he gets that big. But cool. But there, yeah, but it's,
I like how you think 4 inches is big.
We
were doing so well. We managed to get so far, like an hour and 26 minutes in by being serious.
But anyway, I think that was the last question from the chat. But I just think, just to finish that one off, really, I think I tend to go, I don't get put off by tank size guides, but the bigger issue is, for me, I think there are a few issues, right? So if you're putting a fish in that's too big, well, the issues when knowing if your tank is overstocked is, can your tank cope with a bio load? Have you put 10 tangs in a 4-foot tank and your nutrients are going crazy because you've got to feed loads? Is there enough hiding space? Because fish need their own spots to sleep and their own spots to stay away from trouble. Is there enough swimming space? And that depends. Some fish occupy different areas and all that sort of stuff. And are they aggressive? If they're aggressive, then the tank needs to be even bigger. So the various things to consider. It's not just as simple, I don't think, as Live Aquarius says this, so that's right. But the reason they do that is because it's a useful rough estimate.
I also think it depends on what the type of what fish it is as well. Yeah. Because I wouldn't worry about a Tamini's tang's adult size, but I would worry about a grouper, leopard grouper.
Yeah.
I think it's a leopard one with the white with the black spots, isn't it?
Panther
grouper, yes, sorry, yes. Yeah. I would worry about that. Because even though you get those little tiny ones, they do grow big, if you see what I mean.
A dragon wrasse.
Yes, yeah.
Rock river.
Then again, obviously, they probably have a much larger adult size as well.
Yeah.
Than a Tamini tang. So that probably needs to be taken into consideration too. There's only so much.
But even small, so like I've got a white-tailed coal tang, and that's a relatively small tang. He's still quite big.
Yeah.
I've had him probably 2-3 years, probably 3 years now, and he's not small.
Well, he's going to be coming to me soon, isn't he?
He is eating, munching on all your corals, with a bit of luck.
No, he's not the one I'm worried about. It's the rabbit fish I'm worried about.
Yeah, I'm giving him a pep talk. I keep showing him photos of the nicest. I got your website up, and I show him. I do sort by price high to low, and I show him, and I'm like, see that one that says 300 next to it? That's delicious. So tasty.
Yeah.
So you want to go for
What rabbit fish is it? I can't even remember.
It's a scribble. Siganus. A two-barred, I think, is the common name.
Two-barred.
Or variegated. Siganus. I don't even know. Can't remember what it is, what the Latin name is now. But it's so cool. I've had it. So he's been in my tank with acans, chalices, hammer. He's never touched them.
Ugly. Ugly fish.
Ugly gout.
Ugly.
Get out.
Like, that is one of the, of all the rabbit fish you could get, that's the ugliest one.
Oh, I'm trying to get rid of you. How do
you tried to get rid of me and then you got rid of you instead.
He's gone, guys. How can I mute him? There you go. I've muted him. Yeah, done. Don't want that. Rubbish.
You should show people. Show people, because this is one of those situations. This is, so what I am, just to clarify what I'm saying that there are basically every other rabbit fish is nicer than that one.
What's up with the bloody live aquarium? Every time I try to go on it lately, it does this. I don't know if it's just a UK thing. It must be. Anyway, look at that ugly rabbit fish, for heaven's sake. Ugly. That's the one. Look at that.
Any other rabbit fish is nicer than that fish, basically.
He's got a funny face. I'll give you that. But look at the little blue spots and the...
like a very subtle, like... It basically, every other fish you can get is better than that fish.
He has got, I would say, he's got a face like a welder's bench.
He's mostly white for a start.
Silver. But apart from that, he's a cool fish. But I'm not going to ask, because I'm not going to ask in the chat.
Interesting compared to the average freshwater fish.
Oh, that's an absolute savage attack, that is.
I know.
I love, but lots of people think that don't like fox faces, like one spot fox face, think they're really boring. I think they're really cool.
They're still nicer than that fish. At least they're really? Like bright really? Yellow. Oh, yeah.
Man. I love that. I think he's one of my favorite fish. I love him. He's peaceful. He's anyway. Wow, that's a nice looking fish, says this guy. Fox faces aren't really reef safe. They are. I think they're a risk. My take on rabbit fish and fox faces is they are probably a 90%. There's a 90% chance they'll be okay, but there's a 10% chance they won't.
That is not and what I have found in my experience.
When they get bigger, they're more likely to go rogue. This is not one of those situations where it's like an internet myth. Will they eat corals? They do, and when they do, they go crazy for it. But I think most of them are fine. Maybe not for their whole lives. Most of them are fine most of the time, is my opinion on that.
I think they're about as reef safe as like a coral beauty, if I'm honest. I think that
more than that. Oh, hang on, what am I doing?
I think they are fine with some corals and not others. So basically, it just you're having a good experience with them because you haven't given them the corals that it's willing to eat.
Acans.
Acans are usually one of the top ones on that list.
Exactly.
But the other thing that I noticed with them is sometimes they don't actually eat the coral. They eat the slime off the corals.
Yeah, okay.
So it's more that they're irritating it than actually eating it. Way, it still causes it to die.
But there have been times when I've fragged SPS corals, particularly around a barley green slimer. They go over and eat the slime. They love that. But I've never seen them pestering it to get slime, if you know what I mean.
I had to move one because it was doing it to trachophilias.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be gutting. But that's the thing. Because I'm moving to LPS in the new tank, my plan is to have two rabbit fish. But I'm well aware that I'm going to need a fish trap on hand just in case. Because if SPS tank, that's one thing. But if you're going for LPS, that's definitely a bigger risk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but anyway.
I've had like five over the years, and some of them have been better than others. I think the worst one was the bicolor fox face. I had a magnificent. I had one of those, and I've had a one spot and the one spot one without the one spot. So just an all yellow one.
Fox face low? No, that's the one spot. Just I don't know. Fox
face. I think fox face low is the one without.
Oh, is black, it?
I think maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I can't remember. There's like three or four that look almost identical, but they are they're Sagan or something. They're different. They've got a different Latin name or scientific name, whatever it is. Anyway, we're going to move on because otherwise we'll be here all week.
True.
The one last thing I wanted to pull up from the Facebook page was this guy. Charles might be a lady. Posted.
This is a bold statement.
More controversial wallpaper than my bird wallpaper, I would suggest. With copper-banded butterflies, a wrasse of some kind, a purple tang, and what they've called, Bangor cardinals. What's that called? Bannerfish, that's the one. And a clown tang?
I was like, is he going to call that a Moorish idol?
No. What's this? Is that a Sohel?
As a clown. Well, if it's yellow and blue, it's a clown tang. Can't if it's black and white, it's a Soho. But it looks like... No, yeah, it's pretty sure it's a clown tang.
Okay, there you go. But yeah, there you go. So more controversial than mine. But I won't be...
And the chances are that person is watching because they've taken a picture of them watching us. So they might be watching right now.
So they're going to be there's them watching us, watching us, watching them.
Yes, true.
my brain's frying. But no, so I'm getting rid of the wallpaper pretty soon. I should just say, let me just have a quick.
And you're replacing it with that wallpaper, aren't you?
I am not. It's just going to be a white wall. 6 hours and this power head is still going.
Very exciting for everyone.
Half charged, which is now looking like it's going to run out soon. But yeah, that is exciting. Anyway, right. So that was the last thing on the.
People think that's your wallpaper. I think because they're saying what an improvement on the bird wallpaper.
Yeah, I know. Literally anything is better than the bird wallpaper. Philistines, the light year. What was I going to say? Yeah. Okay. So that's the Facebook and member questions. I almost called you Christian then. Ryan, what's your name? That brings us on to the Prestige Reef Fish of the Week.
Oh, I was waiting for a jingle, but there isn't one, is there?
No.
So when you do that, I always go, is there a jingle? No. Right. So the Fish of the Week this week is a Catalina goby.
And I'm just going to interrupt you quickly because what I realized when I brought this up was this is the Reef Builders website and it says Awesome Fish Spotlight, which is basically Fish of the Week. And this was from 2016. So now they're going to countersue me for stealing Fish of the Week after they stole Week in Reefing.
I don't know, because Awesome Fish Spotlight and Fish of the Week sound very different.
It's the same thing. So I think this is going to be like a back and forth in court for years.
Probably.
And really acrimonious, like, you know, but anyway. Sorry, carry on. Catalina goby.
So the reason I've gone for this is there's actually two reasons. I like to show fish in this section that people wouldn't necessarily always see, but also that they should be aware of. So this fish I have seen in fish shops before, not very often, but they come from very, very deep water.
75 meters, it says, which is very deep.
Yes, yeah. So they don't do very well in warmer temperatures because obviously it's colder the deeper you go. So they usually need a tank of around 24 degrees rather than sort of...
Cooler than that, I bet.
I'm pretty sure it says 24 on that.
Oh, no, it does, yeah. 65 to 75 or 24 degrees C. No, 65, hang on. 65 F in C. That's 8. 65 is 18.
Yeah. But what I'm saying
75
is that...
75 is 24.
So 24 is... If you want to have a reef... You can have success at 24.
Absolute max, though, is what.
Yeah, is so. But what I'm saying is, if you want to have coral and you want to have this fish, you're gonna have to have your tank at 24 degrees. If you have your tank at 18, probably not going to be successful. No, you have a success with the fish, but not so much the coral.
There's a few gobies like that, little gobies that live in cooler waters. There's another one.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember what's called, but it's a cool fish. You do see them from time to time. And because they're tiny, they look like they make good nano tank fish, but they're probably not.
Yeah, I have. There was one in Maidenhead and Crawley ages ago. I remember seeing. I was like, that is a really cool. Like, I knew what it was, but I didn't. I'd not seen one for a long time. I was like, that's the sort of fish that if there was more of them, that loads of people would have them. But if they're coming from 75 meters deep, some of them, they can't be that easy to catch.
That's the point. And they're tiny.
So why aren't they really, really, like, unbelievably expensive, which is what usually happens?
Yeah.
When they're deep water fish, they're usually, like, crazy expensive.
Because you get the bends basically collecting them, don't you?
Yeah. Well, 75 meters is a long way. Like, so standard scuba diving, I think, is 20 or 30.
30, I think. 30, is.
Yeah. I think if you don't have a license, you can go to 20. And if you do have a scuba diving license, you can go to 30.
It's 18 and then 30. But 30 is the paddy open water, I think it's called. So
yeah,
more than double that. 75 meters. What's that, 300 feet? No. Yeah, just under 300 feet. Wow. Probably 300 feet.
It always boggles my mind. Have you ever watched on YouTube? If you've not done this, like anyone who's listening, go on YouTube and type in hand collecting marine fish. These people are like ninjas underwater
with a little net.
You literally see them chasing a fish sometimes. They'll get between like two different like bommies, I think is what they call them. And you just think, how are they? I can't even catch a fish in a tank. How are they getting them underwater while having to swim where the fish can get away? Now, they do use nets in some cases, but I saw one that was chasing an Atlantic blue tang, and it was unbelievable how this man caught this fish. So if, now try imagine doing that down 75 meters.
Yeah, exactly. There's just a quick question I'm going to pop up about talking about battery backups from earlier. Steve Webb says, I can't believe you're still looking for the battery backups when Tunzi switcher is so easy to set up and not only for Tunzi pumps. The reason I'm doing it, so when I set up my new tank, if I get rid of the MP40s, which I might do, but probably won't. But if I do get rid of them, I'll use a Tunzi safety connector. I've looked it up. It's a bit of a faff, but I can do it. But the reason I'm doing this going to so many lengths is because 90%, probably 99% of reefers won't use a Tunzi safety connector, because when you look up the guides, it says you've got to run the batteries in series, and then you've got to connect this to that, and people are like, no, I'm not doing that, it's too much, I can't work it out. So this isn't for me. Well, it's partly for me, but I want to get something that is as easy to use for the average reefer as the Ecotec battery backup, but that can work without Ecotec stuff. And this is not to replace the Ecotec, but for people who can't, have got a tank that's too small, for example. So that's why I'm doing it, because I want to find something that is an easy solution, that is just as easy. Because if it's slightly difficult, most people won't do it.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's really easy, and I can show people how easy it is, if I can find that, then loads of people will do it, and so it'll help. So that's why I'm doing it. Most people won't bother with the hassle.
You're going to buy loads of them in, put a little reef dog sticker on them, and then sell them for double the cost, aren't you?
So good idea. The thought did cross my mind, but the reality is, you think I'm going to sell something that's electrical, and no way, not put my name
to
that.
Like, that's true.
The whole point of this, I'm not doing that. I might put an Amazon link in the description or whatever, but I'm doing it because I think if you can find something that's easy to do for people, more people will use it and fewer people will have tank wipeouts. Whereas if I make a video, if I bought the Tunzi safety connector and made an instructional video on how to do that, it would be really complicated. No one's going to, people, like some people might do it, but it's too complicated. So that's why I'm doing it. And lots of other people. Sorry.
We've done fish of the week, haven't we? So we must do coral of the week now.
Oh, I don't like your coral of the week.
Well, I don't know. Right, so my coral of the week this week is an elephant ear mushroom. And the reason I picked elephant ear mushrooms is because one of them turned up in one of the boxes of the corals I bought recently. And I was like, is that just a really big mushroom? Because it looks way better than that one. That's an ugly one. it looks much better than that. But when I saw it was the same size as all the other mushrooms. And I was like,
what, like an inch across?
Yeah. So I've seen them when they're massive, but this one's like this.
Yeah.
But I recognize, I'm like, that is definitely what I think it is. And it's growing really, really quickly.
Because they're eating all your fish.
No, it's not eating any of my fish so far.
So this is potentially a coral eater though, right?
Not a coral eater. It could potentially eat
fish. The
funny thing is, how have you got that? Is there not a better picture of
the reason I've got this is, so I made one of my videos that's done really well was top 10 corals you'll regret or whatever it was, and this was number one, because you don't see them very often, but you do see them from time to time, and they eat clownfish, they eat Nemo, Ryan, for God's sake. And I used this article in that video, and I'm sure it says something about clownfish.
I put so that's in one of the tanks at the moment. Yeah. And
in particular, they attract then consume clownfish, Ryan. You're promoting corals that eat Nemo.
I need to get rid of this because I'm never going to be able to sell it, am I? Because no one's going to want it. To be fair, that's the sort of thing where I'd feel bad, like letting someone have it.
Put it in a mystery box.
I didn't really consider it.
What does it look like? Any of these?
It's hard to see because they're small pictures. It's actually like, it's quite a nice, like sort of creamy color. It doesn't look as ugly as the pictures you're showing.
That's cream look.
Yeah, I know. That looks like someone sneezed on your computer screen.
It does, yeah.
So who wants to buy this? It's not on the website at the moment, but if you want to buy it, you let me know. Other than that, it's going to go in the bin probably.
Do not buy it. Well, don't throw it in the bin, but do not buy that.
It's coming to your house.
Bloody is.
It's the funny thing is, like, it's in the tank. It's in one of the tanks at the moment. It's actually in the tank where your fish are going in at the moment, which is funny. And I fed all the copper bands every day. I feed all the copper bands by hand and check up on them, check all their weight and everything, make sure they're all good, make sure they're eating. And I got to that tank, put the food in, nothing. That the copper band just did not show up. And I was like, that's weird. It's always here. So why is it not showing up? And it just didn't come out. And I thought, is that a mushroom eating it? Because even though the mushroom's only small, but then the next day, the cob band's fine. I don't know why it didn't come out that day, and it was feeding the next morning. Okay. It was obviously busy doing something.
Yeah. I'm going to interrupt just briefly. That's right. Because I've just seen that Kalamazoo Reefer basically made the same point as I was making about the battery backups. And the reason I'm mentioning him is because he runs a YouTube channel. He's just hit 1,000 subscribers. This is the YouTube channel, Kalamazoo Reefer. And I discovered this recently. YouTube served up a video that caught my eye. And you can see I've watched a few of his videos now. He's really good. He's well worth checking out. He's Telegram would call sans BS. So he's just he's not trying to be an influencer. His videos are really interesting, just vlog style sort of stuff. He posted some stuff about the battery backup, this one. And he's a Calc fan. Who doesn't love Calc?
Are you fangirling at the moment?
A little bit fangirling. I'm fanboying. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, he's really good. He's well worth it.
I stand by my statement.
God's sake. But he's one of those channels that probably goes under the radar that you probably won't see unless one of his videos like Calquaza comes up or whatever. Well worth checking out.
There you go. Subscribe to him.
He makes videos a lot more frequently than you do.
True. Well, most people do.
Yeah, this is true. It's not difficult, is it? Current of the week is done then. We're going to move on because it's very new. We've got news to do, bloody hell, Ryan. We're behind time. Right, news. So, first off, this just in. The power had to stop working.
Oh, thank you for that. I wouldn't be able to sleep tonight not knowing that.
5 hours, 57 minutes. So it's just under 6 hours. Stop.
So it'd be 12 if it was fully charged.
I don't think it was half charged. Anyway, whatever. Call it 6 hours. So Ultramarine. There's a new... So in the UK, there is a coral magazine called Ultramarine. There is a new edition out. This actually came out last week. I bought a year subscription. I don't know. I think this is my last one, maybe a year ago. But there's a new Ultramarine magazine out. So if you want a magazine about reef keeping, go and get it. You can buy it for most local fish, or not most local fish shops, but plenty. Or you can get it online. How much is it? I can't remember how much I paid for the subscription. Doesn't say on the cover. I think it's about £4. So typical magazine price. And you won't find another a better saltwater magazine.
I was going to say it is a good one. There are other magazines. There's a few other ones, but I find that one to be the most sort of advanced. I'm not sure advanced is the right word, but you see what I mean.
Yeah. So contributors include Mike Paletta. He's done articles on this. Dr. Paul Anderson this week from OARTA, Ornamental Aquatic Trade Association. They've got some in this one. This week they've got some really nice tanks, like long established tanks. I feel like this is probably read by people who've been in the hobby longer, and I think they don't aim at junior people as such. But it's well worth a read. If you've never read it, go and buy it.
Remember that time that I was in Ultramarine magazine?
You weren't in it, no.
No, I wasn't. My tank was in it though.
Yeah, but we'll move on from that. We'll come back to that another time. Second piece of news, and this was, I got an email this week from Red Sea, which probably everybody did. They brought out they brought out their G2 range of tanks 6 months ago, maybe, and they've applied that G2 Ness to their Nano series. So there are three Nano tanks, and Ryan, you love Nano tanks, don't you?
Love a Nano tank, yep.
And these are 75 litres, 100 litres, and 125 litres. They're roughly the size of the Cade over my shoulder, all slightly different dimensions, but roughly that kind of size. So that's an idea. They cost between £950 and £1,170 if you buy it with the cabinet. You can buy it without the cabinet. And there were, they just look nice. They're just red tea tanks. The couple of things that I pointed out that I was going to mention, 5-year warranty. It's a 3+2. So you get a 3-year warranty and then you have to register to get the 2 years. Loads of CJ do that. They're CJ often stated as having a 5-year warranty. It is, but you've got to register it. Anyway, I digress.
Literally just sending an email saying, I've got one of your tanks.
You just have to sign up, I think, yeah, and provide proof of purchase. But no, I mentioned it because no, I never do that. I can never be bothered. Yeah. If I bought a tank, I probably would do, to be fair. But anyway, whatever. Yeah, and they come with a CJ skimmer and a CJ powered skimmer, sorry, and a CJ return pump. And they will work with the Red Sea Auto Top Off and the new Red Sea Nano filter roller, which is coming. We talked about that a week ago, which I know you'll love because you love equipment.
True.
And Aqua H. This was a photo I saw this week. Aqua, Ryan. This was a photo they posted on Facebook. And this is the first time I've seen the hall that this event will be.
Yeah, it's massive.
This is the UK's, the coral show that's coming in September this year. Corals, reptiles, all sorts of stuff, but it'll be saltwater stuff. That place is huge. This is the NAEC in Stoneleigh, so it's in the Midlands. So if you haven't bought your ticket, go and buy your ticket. They're only £12. £12 for a day is a mental.
You bought it and then didn't go, I mean, yeah. It's like, it's not going to break the bank for most people, is it?
Completely. So, but anyway, but that was the first time I've seen the hall, and it looks huge. Imagine, and when it's empty, it always looks smaller. So when that's full of vendors and stuff, that'll be huge.
Yeah.
And me and you were going for a beer afterwards with an invite extended to everybody. So
there's going to be 100 people end up at a pub somewhere.
Imagine if like 500 people went.
I think 500 people. Do you even think 100 people would be interested in us?
Well, no, but I mean, interested in going for a beer with a load of fish mates.
That's true. Actually, think about it. We could do a live stream in person on one of the nights.
If you bring the equipment needed to set that up, we'll do it.
No, I don't want to do a live stream where other people watch it. You have to turn up to see it. It's a special live stream.
Oh, I see. Right. I thought you were anyway. Whatever.
Just to talk to each other in person.
But that's Aqua. Oh, Ultimate is £25 a year for £2.50 per copy. No, it's actually quarterly. So you get four a year. You get one every 3 months, I believe. I can find out. Oh, never mind. Anyway, would Aqua be bigger? You might be talking to someone else. Anyway, so Aqua. Go to Aqua. And the last piece of news is the headline. So if you've just clicked on this video because you saw the thumbnail.
Oh, yeah.
Sat through 1 hour, 52 minutes just to get to this moment. And I'm going to ask you this. Actually, I'm going to ask now, if you're watching this live, in fact, even if you're watching it afterwards, post in the chat or the comments how much you would pay for that fish. Now, this is a white scopas tank. Now, I'll give you a bit of context first off, because it's a very rare. I've never seen a white scopas tank like that. The closest I've seen is the white yellow tank, which is Casper of WWC fame. But I've never seen a fish like that. First off, Ryan, how much would you pay for that fish?
Well, how much would I actually pay?
And I'm gonna preface this now, because if the person who's bought this or the shop he was selling this is watching, this is not a fair representation of what.
No, this is just a representation of how tight we are.
This is two dickheads down the pub talking about a fish that is clearly not aimed at us. They are not marketing that at me, so I'm not the intended customer. So
I reckon it will probably be like $15,000 or $10,000. And I think the most I would pay for it would be £1,000, I reckon.
I think it said five figures. I don't think it actually said the price. It might not have even said that. No, I don't think it says that. But what did you say? Sorry, how much?
I said, I assume it's going to be $10,000 to $15,000. But for me, £1,000 is probably the most I would be going for on a fish.
So I actually think that's quite a bad photo, because that looks like a mobile phone photo, and it's kind of just, it looks like someone's going, I'll just take a photo quickly. So I think it will probably look better in real life than it does in that photo. Sorry if you took that photo and you're watching, no offense.
We're upsetting loads of people in this last 5 minutes, aren't we?
But I think the point is it will look better in real life. I still wouldn't want that. But I think it's cool, and I do like completely white fish. Like the Genacanthus.
You can have that boring white one you've got already, you know, that rabbit fish.
Personartis. Is it Personartis Angel?
I know which one you're talking about.
I think they're really cool. And the Bandit Angel is really cool. Yeah. I think those fish are cooler than that Tang. So would you actually want that fish?
I would have that fish and I would pay £1,000 for it. Yes, definitely.
Interesting.
It's something it's quite unique. And as I said, when you've been in the hobby as long as I have, you like unique stuff. And yeah. Other people might spend £1,000 on other things, like lots of little things, whereas I'd rather have one big thing that, if you see what I mean, and not get loads of little ones.
I had that same conversation with someone today about corals, and I sold a single frag of Pink Lemonade Acro. It was an inch tall, and it was £125. And we were discussing it, and it was like, I decided, because I bought it for a little bit more than that originally, and I decided I would rather have one really nice coral than five like barley green slimers or whatever that I don't really am not into. Not that they're bad corals, but just, so I'm with you. I wouldn't pay more than, £1,000 is more than I would pay for that. But I don't like
we feel differently about tangs and fish.
Exactly. But I think I could see £500 or £600. I would say, you know, that's my first offer.
So if you think about it, so £600 is the same amount price as an Achilles. An Achilles you can basically get relatively, like, if it's, they're seasonal, I think. But if you want one, you can get one. Whereas you can't get a white tang.
But I don't want a white tang. I'd rather have an Achilles.
So,
and that's the whole point of this, is that we're not this is not targeted at us.
Well, it is targeted at me. I'm just tight.
Well, this is true. But that's the sort of thing that if you like rare fish, like Polo Tree, if he likes rare fish.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's going to pay 10 or 15 grand for it, but a fish like that comes up, that's like catnip.
That's the sort of fish that he should have in his tank, actually, because he hasn't got an all white one. But some of them, they don't stay all white. That's the other problem. Sometimes they go back. Imagine spending
if that ended up like a Scopas.
Yeah,
like
I know.
Scopas.
I know.
Like a £30 Scopas. But yeah, but it's 5.5 inches long, it says. So that's, it doesn't mean it's not going to go change color when it gets older, but it's quite mature already. So
Polo does have I can't think, she said Polo has a white Picasso Desjardini. Not anymore. It's now mostly changed back to a normal one, unless it's changed back to white. But I remember the last time I saw it, he put a video out once saying he's not going to get those sorts of fish anymore because they change color.
He said
that they revert back to normal coloration. So it's a lot of money to, not maybe not completely, but
you'd be gutted, wouldn't you?
You would, yeah.
Okay, so let's see what people are prepared to pay for it. There's going to be some hurtful comments in here if you're watching this. If you, this is your,
I know.
I apologize. But £200, that's a decent start.
You have to compare it to another fish that costs £200. And remember, this is one of a kind. So what's another fish that costs £200?
£20. 150. So,
well, think about it. A £200 is less than a yellow tang these days.
$2.
Okay.
Come on. There was a better comment, actually. £10 and a Freddo.
Well, Freddos, they got up in price, haven't they?
Yeah, really expensive now. I'll have $3. £3.45 in 5p coins. But there were more. So over 10k sold for five figures. 300, 250, 500. Assume 10k. I think it'll be 10k. We'll probably sell for over 20. I don't know if it'll go for 20, but
I think anyone who's putting it under that, like under 1,000, is not thinking about. So people going, oh yeah, £200. You can't even get yellow tang for £200 now. So how can you compare them?
Yeah, but you're not. That's not the question. I'm not asking a prospective buyer what they'd pay for it. I'm just asking Joe Public.
And Les said £6.79 and some Xenia.
But yellow tang is much prettier. It is.
It's interesting because I actually think, like, I have a yellow tang in the water box, but I'm just like, it doesn't make you feel anything. They've been around,
seen them a million times. Yeah.
Yeah, they're everywhere. So, and some of the desire is based on rarity as well. Especially for me these days, especially, is based on rarity. So a yellow tang, It's funny because people that weren't interested in yellow tangs before are now interested in them because they're more expensive. It's yeah, like, exactly. It's like, why? You didn't want them before.
Oh yeah, it's fancy. Yeah, but to be fair, so obviously that fish is not, I'm never going to buy that fish. It's not aimed at me. It's not caught with people like me in mind. It's not caught with 99% of people in mind. But I like that. I like when they find that sort of stuff, and it is cool because it's so different. Like you see a normal scapegrass tank, they're just boring and brown. That is proper white. It's not just like got patches on it. It's proper white.
If it was guaranteed to stay that color, which obviously it isn't, and it was guaranteed to live for 30 years, which obviously it won't, as in I can't, you know, there's no guarantee of that. I might go up to 1,500, 2,000. But look, this is very, very unlikely. I've never bought a fish that's like that, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So exactly. Yeah. But as in, I think it is worth that, is what I'm trying to say. Because,
yeah.
Like,
you think it's worth $2,000?
Yeah, because you just can't get them anywhere else. Look at those Yerpal tangs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I actually think that's an appropriate price. But someone will pay crazy money for it.
That's better than a Yerpal.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And Yerpals were like crazy prices.
The Yerpals have got potential, but they've never seemed to have achieved that. Whereas that, you buy it straight away. You don't have to hope that it goes white. It looks awesome instantly.
Think about it this way. A Rolex is a watch. I have a watch which costs like 150 quid. They both do the same thing. But whereas a Rolex might be like 20 grand or
Rolexes 50. Are actually worse because the nice ones aren't battery powered, and that means they lose time. So they're worse than a normal watch that costs 10 quid.
But people want them because of rarity or because of prestige or because, and that's what that fish is. It is a rare and prestigious fish. So that's why I believe it is worth more than the £200 or bit of Xenia that Les was offering.
I can't put it better than that. So we should end on that point.
Yes. Okay.
And it's 2 hours. So thank you all for watching, guys. We're going to do Ryan's DIY recipe for dosing. So if you want to save cash, come back next week and we'll talk about that.
Sounds good.
All right. Cheers, guys. Bye.
Okay. See you later. Bye.